Welcome to Slay, the podcast where we dive into all aspects of female health, fitness, and life. I'm your host, Louise Hazel, and in today's episode, we're going to be exploring the challenges of working in industries where consumer interests often take a back seat. Picture this: you're passionate about your work, dedicated to your craft, but there's a nagging feeling that something isn't quite right. Maybe the product isn't good. Maybe what you're selling is doing more harm than good. And you've come to realise that the industry you're in doesn't always prioritise the best interests of consumers. It's a tough pill to swallow, and it can feel like an uphill battle every single day, which can be taking a mental, physical, and emotional toll on your body. So if you're feeling like you're at odds with your chosen career path, then this episode is for you. Join me this week as I explore the frustrations and complexities of navigating such environments and how to lighten the burden it places on us. In today's episode, I love my job, but I hate this industry. Those who know me well know that I love my job. I love my personal training clients. I love working together to find unique solutions. I love getting up at 5 a.m. I love to think about them during romantic dinners or on weekend walks. Now, if there's one thing that gets me excited, it's the results that they get as a result of their commitment to lifestyle changes and connection with their bodies. But I'm going to keep it real. Whilst I love my job, sometimes I just can't stand the fitness industry. It sucks nuts. At times, I think it's quite possibly one of the worst industries to work in behind the pharmaceutical industry. My main issue with the fitness industry is that it pretends to want people to come fitter and healthier, but it actually thrives off of people keeping people in a loop or no longer progressing. Now, I'll never forget a meeting that I had with a large investment firm in the UK. One of the executives asked me if I knew who the best type of gym member was, to which he replied, "The one that doesn't show up, because they don't use electricity, the showers, or the towels." And that conversation still haunts me to this day. As a gym owner, I never want to be proud of the fact that people aren't showing up. I want to be proud of the results that they achieved because they showed up. Now, last week, something unexpected happened. For the first time in my life, I questioned whether or not I'd made the right career choice. Has anybody else watched like an occupational reality TV show like Fixer Uppers and thought to themselves, "I could do that. That would be so easy. And why am I stressing over macronutrients when I could just be flipping houses?" I genuinely can't believe I'm saying this out loud or even sharing this publicly. Because let's face it, we both know that vulnerability is not my calling card. But by even saying it out loud, there's a part of me that feels as though it undermines the work that I do, love, and enjoy with my clients. But on the other hand, I realize I'm probably not the only one that feels like this. And so today, I'm going to be sharing some of the things that I've been working through in case it helps you too. So for those of you who are new to the podcast and don't know, fitness is my second career. I transitioned from the world of elite track and field sport where I was a professional athlete. Every day was focused on performance and simply being better than you were yesterday. The world of sport steeped in politics, and I've seen some crazy things, but ultimately I existed in a world that was a meritocracy. The only thing that mattered was first place. Just run from A to B in the quickest time possible. If you do that well, then you'll get paid, you'll be celebrated, you may even go down in the history books, and no one can take a gold medal away from you, can they? However, the fitness industry is a whole different beast. In the fitness industry, you don't have to have a good product service to be number one. You just need to have a big budget and a decent marketing strategy that convinces people that they need your product or service or brand in order to achieve their own goals. Now, the single biggest issue that I encounter as a personal trainer is a deep-rooted and systematic failure of the people that it serves, especially women. It's so pervasive that sometimes I feel like I'm living in some alternate reality. It's like your world is full of color, but everyone else is seeing things in shades of gray. Has anybody else felt like this? Sometimes I stay up at night trying to figure out how the damage can be undone. And some nights I lay my head down with a heavy heart and succumb to the idea that things will never change. I truly have the utmost respect for anyone who is battling against a system that was not set up for success. Here in the US, I think that we can all relate to the issues that exist with certain for-profit industries like Big Pharma, as we're all touched by it and it affects us on a daily basis. But the fitness industry is one that I think nobody talks about. Let me break it down for you. There are four things that I'm facing currently with regards to the fitness industry. So let me know in the comments whether any of these things resonate for you or your chosen career path too. The first one is ethical dilemmas. The ethical dilemmas in the fitness industry are real. The clash between personal values and professional obligations is something that I come face to face with as a trainer every single day. Now, let's examine the idea of supplements, for example. The sale of supplements in the United States is a multi-billion dollar a year industry. Some of these products are categorized by a misleading array of unsubstantiated, more often than not false, claims, unregulated by the federal government. Supplements tend to be marketed to individuals who are looking for a quick and easy fix to whatever ails them. Now, whilst I genuinely believe that there is little harm for those people who want to supplement their daily nutrition with like multivitamins, I was recently approached by a physician who wanted to offer my clients performance-enhancing drugs because everyone in Hollywood is doing it. Honestly, conversations like this give me the ick. And I'm sure you've probably encountered your fair share of sleazebags in your industry too. Now, if I didn't have such a strong anti-drug stance, which was like instilled from me as a result of being a professional athlete, then the idea of being able to get my clients results really quickly with the use of performance-enhancing drugs might have been tempting. Now, you too may find yourself torn between advancing your career and staying true to your principles. And I say this to say, always stick to your guns. The second struggle that I face is that I feel like I'm in a constant battle. It feels like a constant fight to advocate for women's rights and well-being. It's sometimes like I'm entrenched in practices and profit-driven motives that often overshadow a genuine care for the women and their bodies. I see this every single day in health, wellness, and fitness. Take Weight Watchers, for example. I've never understood two things about this hugely successful company. The first is the celebration of weight loss at a time where science has prevailed and fat loss has now become a common goal amongst us young women. The second was the need for a point system. They offer a masterclass in how to take something simple and make it confusing and convoluted in the name of profit, instead of taking the opportunity to educate women on how counting macronutrients is a far more effective solution than counting calories. Even to this day, I find myself explaining the basic principles of nutrition because it's been so overshadowed by diet culture that the actual facts are buried amidst low-calorie propaganda. The third daily stress I encounter frequently is moral fatigue. It's exhausting to witness injustice or deceptive practices within your industry day in, day out. And by deceptive practices, a prime example of this in action in the fitness industry would be food labeling. Things such as diet foods, things such like diet soda, low-fat flavored yogurt, net carbs, and so on and so forth. If you pick up a can of energy drink at the supermarket today and research all of its contents, there's going to be at least one thing in there that's harmful to your health. Which reminds me, for all those of you who are super interested in what goes into your bodies, you can scan any food at the supermarket and get a review of its contents, whether it contains harmful substances, by using an app called Yuka, Y-U-K-A. You'll be able to sleep better tonight because of that. And the fourth and final struggle that I feel on a daily basis is a lack of support. Sometimes I feel isolated in my efforts to promote products that are actually good for women. Although through this podcast, I found comfort in a group of women who are also leading the charge in the name of improving women's health and fitness, some of whom you'll meet on the Slay podcast. But what I really look forward to is doing more in the future and getting the opportunity to meet with change makers in person to ask them the questions that our average consumer doesn't get the chance to. Like, what is the impact of taking this medication on my long-term health? So, you've heard all of the things that have been getting my goat recently, and I'm sure you've got a few of your own. But let's not dwell on the negative. Let's focus on the solutions. What can be done to alleviate some of this burden? How can we find solace and maintain our integrity in industries that don't always align with our values? Here are five things that I recommend you do. And by you, I mean me too. Number one, focus on what you control. While you might not be able to change the entire industry overnight, focus on the aspects of your work that you can control. Lead by example and prioritize ethical conduct in your own actions. And remember that you're here to nudge the needle forward. Small progress is important progress. Number two, seek allies and advocates. Build a support network of like-minded individuals who share your commitment to consumer well-being. Collaborate with those allies within outside your organization to amplify your impact. You could start a monthly meetup, either virtually or in person, that creates a culture of support and sharing. Number three, educate and empower. Take opportunities to educate others about the importance of consumer advocacy and ethical business practices. Empower colleagues, stakeholders, to question the status quo and demand positive change. You could use your platform, your time, your energy, and even your own money to spread the truth. If enough people start spreading the word, then the message will land eventually. Number four, practice self-care. It's essential to prioritize self-care to combat moral fatigue and burnout. Find healthy outlets for stress relief, and such as exercise, mindfulness, or engaging a side of hobbies outside of work. And this is where I ask for danger pay. Danger pay is an additional fee on top of your income that you negotiate to mitigate against the risks of doing a mentally, physically, or emotionally dangerous or taxing job. Think about it like this. There are certain people in the world that you couldn't pay me to sit down with for 2 hours and have dinner. Now, on the other hand, there are certain people that I'd pay to sit down with for 2 hours. The first group you need to charge more to because it's more taxing on your energy, and you take that tax and you invest it into therapy or anything else that you need in order to endure their daily bullshit and keep you sane. Massage therapy, sound baths, whatever you need to be able to show up. Number five, explore alternative paths. If the challenges become so overwhelming, consider exploring an alternative career path or industries that better align with your values. Sometimes a change of scenery can provide renewed purpose and fulfillment. Now, if you're facing a catch-22, it's time to move on and start looking for an environment that is more aligned with your personal values and goals. This is what I call a writings on the wall situation. It's inevitable that you leave, but how you leave and when you leave is totally in your power. In summary, I heard a quote once that said, "If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for everything." So until next time, stay resilient, stay compassionate, and keep fighting the good fight. That concludes this episode of Slay. Stay tuned for more empowering discussions on female health, fitness, and life. You can follow me at Louise Hazel on social media, and you can check out the Slay brand at Slay Athletic. And don't forget to subscribe to the Slay podcast if you haven't done so already on Spotify, and leave us a review. You can also get the tools and resources from all of our podcasts now on the Slay app. You can download it now for free from the App Store and join our online community.